You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.
Together. Tonight, we begin a talk as we are about to begin in the Sephardic community, the third Shabbos night of Selichot. And I thought that we would take a topic and talk about an important topic that is pertinent to every single one of us, not only in the Yemei Tshuva, but throughout the whole year. There is a famous pasuk. It's in Amos, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Ches, and it says like this: Aryeh Sho'og, if a lion roared, Mila Yira, wouldn't you be afraid? And the Mefarshim say, the word Aryeh, El, Ayin, Aleph, Reish, Yud, Hey, what that stands for is Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Hoshana Rabbah. Aryeh, if these days roar to you, Mila Yira, shouldn't we be afraid? If you walk down Middle Neck Road or you walk down Old Mill Road and all of a sudden you see a lion roaring, of course everybody's going to be afraid. So Mefarshim say that's what these days are. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, and Hashana Rabbah. So a number of years ago, my rabbi, Rabbi Shlomo Teitelbaum in Kew Gardens, he was speaking on Kol Nidrei at night, Yom Kippur at night. And he quoted this pasuk, and he said that which Mefarshim say, as I told you, Aryeh is Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Hashana Rabbah. So he said, you know, on Chol HaMoed Sukkot, he took his children to the Bronx Zoo, and they were walking in the zoo, and all of a sudden they heard in the distance a lion roar, and nobody was afraid. Nobody was running away. Everybody was still going with their kids. They had their picnics and their snacks. So what do you mean, Aryeh Sho'og, if a lion roars, wouldn't you be afraid? You go to the Bronx Zoo, a lion roars, and you're not afraid. And he answered, of course not, because the lion is in a cage. And when the lion is in a cage, you got nothing to worry about. So he said something amazing. At the end of Hoshana Rabbah, the final prayer that we say, the Yehi Ratzon, listen to what we say. Yehi Ratzon, may it be the will of Hashem, v'tosir mechitzas habarzel, remove the iron bars, beinenu ubeinecha, hamavsekes beinenu beinecha, that separate us from you, Hashem. In other words, if we put God, so to speak, in a cage, then we have nothing to worry about, right? Just like you don't worry about a lion who's behind bars and he's yelling, nobody's going to be afraid. If we put Hashem and there's a barrier between us and Hashem, then we're also not going to be afraid. So that's what we ask in Hoshana Rabbah. Hashem, please remove the iron bars. There should be no separation between you and us. And that's really what we want. There should be no separation. So when these days roar, we should be introspective. We should be afraid. But I say that all of us, even though that we are afraid, and we begin to think about what we did this past year, we can answer. We should not be broken. We should not think, oh my gosh, I did terrible things, I can never do tshuva. You know why? Because the pasuk tells us in that Balak said about the Jewish people, Hein om kilavi yakum. We can be like a lion. We can stand up. Ukhari, and like a mature lion, yes, not so, we can raise ourselves. So there's no question that these days roar to us, but we can answer back. And tonight, we're going to learn how to answer this roar. A person could come to Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, Hashanah Rabbah, be so afraid. What am I going to do? How can I ever do tshuva? I'm such a rasha. I did terrible things. No, I'm going to show you. You can roar back. A Jew is like a lion. Hein om kilavi yakum. We get up like a lion. Ucharias naso. We can raise ourselves. So how are we going to do that? So I want to show you something very interesting. All of you know, we spoke about it many times on Shabbat, that I am a Moya. And many years ago, I had the great zchus to write a book on Brit Milah. I wrote it for Art Scroll, and my favorite part of the book is about names. I love to talk to people about names because everybody's got a story about their name. As a matter of fact, the word Shem, Shin Mem, equals 360, 340. Shem, right? 340. And the word Sefer, which is book, also equals 340. You know why? Because everybody could tell you to write a book about their name. The name they should have had, the name they could have had, the name that people argued about, the grandparents mixed in. By the way, grandparents should never mix in when it comes to a name. That's only for the young couple. I always say to grandparents, you want to name a child? Go out and have another one. Don't mix in. If a couple is old enough to have the baby, they're old enough to name the baby. So, names are fascinating. And I remember that when I was writing the book, I saw something from the Rebbe Reb Elimelech, the Rebbe of Lezhensk, and he says something incredible. He says that when you name a child after someone, your child now has a connection, his neshama has a connection to the person from whom he's named. And the same thing with a girl. Today in Shul, we named a little girl. If that girl was named after someone, that lady who had the name and this little girl, their neshamas are connected forever. I was so touched by this. This was in 1980 when I first read it. And I didn't have a computer. And listen to this. Try to think. If you have a pencil and paper, you could write this down. You won't believe it. How do you spell the word neshama? What are the two middle letters of the word neshama? Shame. Isn't that incredible? So in the word neshama alone, it shows us that the name is connected through the neshama. So what's the nun and the hey on the outside? That's Ner Hashem. Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam, that's what the neshama is. It's not only the name of the person, but it's the spark of God. Now watch this. Right before Abraham Avinu is going to have his bris, Hashem says to him, you know, Abraham, I'm changing your name. V'lo yikore yoyed eshimcha Avram. Your name is no longer going to be Avram. What is his name going to be? Avraham. Hashem added the letter hey. Now, right as Avram's getting ready to do the bris, Hashem says, wait a second, I got another name change. Your wife, Sarai, Loi tiko eshimo Sarai. She will not be Sarai anymore, but she will be Sarah. Now she's going to have a hey. So I was thinking, Hashem, you got 22 letters in the Jewish alphabet. You already gave the hey to Abraham Avinu. Why do you have to give the hey to Sarah? There's 21 other letters. Find another letter, give her a letter. Why do you got to give them both the same letter? What's so special about the hey? And I think I know the answer. You know what I think the answer is? The Gemara tells us in Menachos Chavtesam and Beis that the world was created with a hey. The Pasuk tells us, Eila told us Shemayim Va'aretz, this is the history of the world, Behi Baram, when it was created. And the Gemara says, Behei Baram. The world was created with a hay. What does that mean? I want to show you. Take a look. See this hay? See, like Sesame Street. This is brought to you by the letter hay. Okay? Okay? Now, everybody sees the hay. What does that mean that this world, in a few minutes, this world was created like a hay? You know what it means? Chazal teaches something amazing. If a person is not careful, and he does Averot, he can fall from this floor, because there's no floor. He falls all the way to the bottom. There's no end to how far a person can fall. If he's involved in materialism, in immorality, in secularism, there's no end. However, every person has to know, no matter what you did, no matter what you watched, no matter who you hung out with, no matter what you said, this door is open for tshuva. This little door is open for tshuva. Hey is the letter of tshuva, as I will show you in a moment. That's what it means that the world was created like the letter hey. Because it's never too late. The door is always open. Now watch this. The bracha of tshuva in Shemon Esrei is Hashiveinu. That's the fifth bracha. Number five, number hey. How does it begin? Hashiveinu with the hey. How does it end? No, Aviel, tell us. Baruch atah Hashem horotzeh. B'tshuva, what letter does it end with? Hey, isn't that amazing? It begins with hey. It ends with hey. Five and five is? 10. That's the Aseret, you make tshuva. That's what the Torah says. That's why Abraham Avinu had to get the letter A. Because Abraham Avinu was the father of all the Balei Tshuva. And that's why Sarah Imenu had to get the letter A, because she was the mother of all the women who did Tshuva. That's why today and tonight, when we begin to say Slichos once again, and we think of the letter A, we have to know that Hashem is waiting for us to come through this door. That's why Hashiveinu, and it's interesting, I'll tell you something amazing. If you take now, don't do it right now, if you take an Ashkenaz Siddur, and you take a Sfarad Siddur, you make a comparison, you will see every bracha from Atochonen until Moedim is different. Each one has different words, Sfarad, Ashkenaz, except Hashiveinu. Tshuva, we're all the same. Exact same words. Take a look, you won't believe it. Slachlonu is different, Rifa'enu is different, Baruch Aleinu is different. The only one that's the same, Sfarad and Ashkenaz, Hashiveinu. We can all fall if we're not careful, but we can all come through this door. That's why your name is so important. Your Hebrew name is so important, because your Hebrew name defines you. If you would go to a Mekubal and you would tell that person your name, they could tell you your whole history or the main part of your life. And that's what the Arizal says. When your parents gave you a name, it defined you. They had Ruach HaKodesh. They thought they were naming you after an aunt, after an uncle, after a rav, after a friend. There's a lot of aunts, there's a lot of uncles, a lot of grandparents. Why did they choose that? You know why? Because that's what you are, what your Hebrew name is. Now, I'm a little embarrassed to tell you this, but I'm going to show you something that's amazing. You know what my first name is? Everybody knows. Pesach, right? My middle name is Yosef. Now, watch this. Do you know what all the commentaries write about the Haggadah? Haggadah shel Pesach. What is Pesach? You break it up. It's two words. Peh, soch. What is peh? A mouth, soch, that speaks. And my middle name is Yosef, which means a lot. I speak a lot. Could you believe that? Believe me, when my parents, I was named after my grandfather, Pesach Yosef. So my mother thought, oh, I'm naming my son after my late father. Turns out, that's not what it's all about. That's my definition. Isn't it amazing? It's incredible. Somebody once pointed that out to me. I couldn't believe it. So that's a Ruach HaKodesh. So that almost is obvious. Now, I can't tell you what Aviel means, but there's a lot of names, wonderful names, and that's why names are very important, especially the Hebrew name. I remember one time I had a bris, and this guy, not so religious, as you will see in a moment, he was from Long Island. He says, Rabbi, I'm going to use a name that you never heard of. I said, what are you going to use? Christopher. You know, what name are you going to give your baby? He says, no, Rabbi, I'm going to name him Justin. I said, Justin? There's a lot of kids named Justin. He said, no, the middle name. I said, what's the middle name? He said, Time. He named his kid Justin Time. Could you believe that? It's true. It's true. They didn't get divorced afterwards, but almost. His wife didn't want him to do it, but he did it anyway. But anyway, but names are very important. And if that's the case, we understand now why Hashem gave the hey both to Abraham and to Sarah, because hey is the letter of Teshuvah. When we stand Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, one of the most meaningful moments is when we say these words. And anybody who has a Jewish heart, anybody who has sensitivity, is always crying by these words. Mi yichyeh mi yomus. You say these words, right? Part in the Sana Tokev. Who's going to live and who's going to die? Mi ani, who's going to become poor? Mi asher, who's going to become wealthy? Mi yishaket, who's going to live in serenity? Mi yitaref, who will be distraught? And when you read the Jewish papers, every day you see people. You never thought this guy's going to lose the money. You never thought this woman is going to be sick. You never thought this man, Nebuch, would lose his life. Anything can happen tomorrow. Anything can happen any day, any age. We see things and we hear things, terrible things. So we cry, mi yichyeh, mi yamus. And then in the next paragraph we say three words. Tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. Those three things. Tshuva, repentance. Tefillah, prayer. And tzedakah, kindness and charity. Mavirin esroya hagzeira. They take away the evil decree. So obviously today, we still have terrible decrees. There's terrible stuff going on. So we still have to do tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. And the question is, I always wondered, why did the great rabbis pick out these three things? Tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. Repentance, prayer, and charity. What's so special about them? And again, I would like to share an answer that I believe is true, and that is as follows. Tshuva is inward. Tefillah is upward to Hashem, and tzedakah, kindness, is outward to another person. Inward, upward, and outward. Those are the three directions that we as Jews have to improve ourselves. And tonight I want to talk one aspect of tshuva, inward, how we think in our hearts and our minds, how we can improve in tefillah, upward, and how we can improve in tzedakah. So let's first talk about tshuva. I want to share with you a story that's not easy to listen to. In our neighborhew, where I live in Kew Gardens, many, many years ago, it's almost 20 years already, there was a terrible fire that broke out in the neighborhood on Shabbat. It broke out in the Silberglite home, and the fire spread so fast, almost immediately, the grandmother of the children in that house was burned. She lost her life. One of the older girls also lost her life. And there was an 8-year-old girl, Masha Miriam. And she was severely burned, and she was taken immediately to the Cornell burn unit in Manhattan. And she suffered terribly. I remember I went to see her. It was absolutely terrible. And then on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, she passed away. Terrible, terrible tragedy. A family lost a grandmother and now two daughters. And on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, everybody came to the funeral, but you're not allowed to give a hesped. You're not allowed to give a eulogy because it's a holiday. But believe me, when they brought in that little coffin into the place where we were having the funeral, you didn't have to say a word. Everybody was crying. Everybody was so broken for the family, for the little child. It was terrible. But there was one person who got up to speak. His name is Rabbi Aryeh Ginsberg. He's a Rav today in Cedarhurst. Rabbi Aryeh Ginsberg at that time had a daughter that was Masha Miriam's age. And so he knew this little girl. And so he got up not to say a eulogy, because as we said, it was a holiday and you can't say a eulogy, but he got up to say Divrei Chizuk. And listen to what he said. He said, on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, we talk about the Hasara Haruge Malchus, the 10 martyrs who were killed. One of them was Rabbi Yishmael. He was tortured to death. And we say on Yom Kippur Tefillah that when the Tzaddik, Rabbi Yishmael, was being tortured, so the angels, Sorfe Mala, Tzoku B'mora, the holy angels, they cried out in bitterness, and they said, Zu Torah, V'zu Schara, this is the Torah. A person learns so much Torah, and he gets, this is the reward. Hashem, how could you do this? That's what the angels cried out to Hashem. On Sobasko M'Shamayim, a voice came from Shamayim, Hashem answered and said, Im Eshma Kol Acher, if I hear one more sound, I'm going to turn the whole world back to Toyu Vavoyo, to emptiness. Don't say another word, Hashem said to the angels. If you say one more word, I'll bring back the world to emptiness. So the Vilna Gaon asked a question. What kind of answer is that? They asked a legitimate question. This is a big tzaddik. God, how could you do this? So either God could say, it's not your business, or I got a plan, or something. But what does that mean? If you say one more word, I'll bring back the world to emptiness. What does that mean? What is the answer to that question? And the Vilna Gaon says something amazing. He said, imagine that there was a king that wanted to have a beautiful suit made. And he looked around the whole country and he found the best tailor. But the best tailor was a Jew. And he hated Jews. But what was he going to do? This is the only guy who could make that great suit. So he calls the tailor and he says, I want you to make me the most beautiful suit. Nobody ever saw a suit like this before. The tailor says, Your Honor, whatever you want. Just give me a certain amount of material, and he tells him how much material he needs, and I'll make you the suit. And the king gives it to him. A month later, the tailor comes back. He says, Your Honor, here's the suit. He puts on the suit. It looks fabulous. It's tailored. It's so exact. It's so perfect. Everybody comes to the palace. They're all praising the king. And here comes the queen. She hates Jews even more than the king did. She takes a look at her husband and she says, My dear husband, you really do look great, but I want to tell you, the tailor is a ganav. He said, What do you mean? He's a robber? What? He didn't rob me. He made a beautiful suit. She says, What are you talking about? He made you a suit, but you gave him a lot of material. And this material, it's not all here. It's, you know, he cut it and he pasted it and he put it together and he made you a nice suit, but the rest of the expensive material he kept for himself. He didn't even tell you. And the king looks at the suit, says, You know, you're right. I didn't even think about that. He calls in the tailor. He says, You robber. Robber, Your Honor, what did I steal? He said, I gave you so much material and you made the suit. Where's the rest of the material? He says, Your Honor, please, go into the other room, get into your original suit, bring me this suit, give me a table and a scissors and I'll show you. He says, Okay. Brings the table, scissors, the tailor starts cutting up the suit. He says, What are you doing? He says, I want to show you something. And he shows him how the pockets are deep, double lined, the cuff is triple lined, the waist is seamless, everything is perfect, doubled and triple lined, everything's exact, every stitch is in place. And he takes out the whole suit and the king, Yo, what'd you do to the suit? He said, Measure it. And he measures the whole thing and all the material is there. So he says, You ruined the suit. He said, But now at least you understand where all the material is. You asked me a question, I gave you an answer. That's what Hashem said to the angel, says the Vilna Gaon. What does it say in the beginning of the Torah? Va'aretz hoisa soyu v'voyo. The world was emptiness. Hashem said to the Malachim, How could you ask me a question? You were not born at the beginning of the world. I'll take you back to the beginning of the world when there was emptiness. And then you'll look out at the whole span of life. And then you'll understand everything. Only if you're back in the beginning of time, then you could understand the whole plan. The Chofetz Chaim says, Listen to this. It's almost adorable, you could say. How many times do we say Ashrei? 3 times a day, right? So we say this pasuk. Shomer Hashem Eskol Yavov V'Eskol HaRishayim Yashmid. Hashem loves and protects all who He loves, and the Rishayim He gets rid of. Now what happens if a guy comes late to shul? Listen what he hears. Eskol Yavov, all who He loves, V'Eskol HaRishayim, and all the wicked people, Yashmid, He gets rid of. Hey God, why are you getting rid of everybody? Even the good people. Excuse me, sir, you walked in late. You didn't hear the first part of the pasuk. And what happens if a guy leaves early? He's going to the Kiddush club, or he's going to the Kiddush, right? Because he can't wait to get that choned. So what is he here? Shomer Hashem Eskol Yavov V'Eskol HaRishayim. Hashem, You protect all the ones who You love and all the Rishayim. God, how come You're protecting the Rishayim? Excuse me, you died early. You didn't get to hear the end of the story. We only live 70, 80 years, right? We're not here for the whole plan. So when something happens to someone, we ask questions, but it's like somebody comes into a shiur and he comes in late and he's going to start asking questions. Or somebody leaves early. How can he ask questions? That's what Hashem is saying to the Malachim. You're not here for the whole span of time. That's what Hashem said to Iyuv when Iyuv asked questions after he had so many troubles. Eifu ha'isa b'yos the earth. Where were you when I created the world? You tell me if you're so smart. In other words, the teshuvah that we have to do in our hearts is to understand that God has a master plan. Not everything can we understand. And I want to tell you something very personal. Many of you know that when I was 21, my father passed away. I'm the oldest of 7. I had to leave the yeshiva. That's when I started supporting my mother and my younger brothers and sisters. But before my father passed away, a few weeks before that, my brother and I were in Washington Heights by Rabbi Shimon Schwab, a great Talmid Chacham. And we were in his house and we prayed in his synagogue because the hospital where my father was not far away. Now Rabbi Schwab, before he came to Washington Heights, he was a teacher in Ne Yisrael in Baltimore. And my father was a student of his. So he knew my father. So I was able to stay by Rabbi Schwab. And after Musaf, my brother and I went to see my father. And then we came back to eat the Suda by Rabbi Schwab. And Rabbi Schwab says to us, How's your father? So I said, I have betochen. I have faith that he'll be well. And he got very stern with me and he taught me a lesson for life. And he said, Bitachon, faith in Hashem does not mean that everything is going to happen good or that your father is going to be well. Bitachon means you have faith in God. And even if it's a difficult situation, you understand that God has a master plan. Maybe one day you'll understand it. Bad things happen. It's crazy to say everything is good. Somebody loses a spouse. Somebody gets divorced. Chas v'shalom, somebody loses a child. You're going to say that's good? It's terrible. But one day we'll understand it. God has a master plan. Betochen means that we have faith in Hashem, even though we can't find the shidduch yet. Even though we don't have the child yet. Even though we don't have the job. The tshuva that I'm talking about tonight is to learn to accept the difficult situation that you are in right now and not to be angry at Hashem. To understand that we don't live long enough to understand the master plan. Hopefully everything will work out, and that's what we pray for. That things should work out l'tov. But if a person's going through a difficult time, we have to know that Hashem has a master plan. Eventually we'll understand why it was good and why it had to happen. But right now, part of the tshuva is to learn that we are here to give strength to each other. That's why brothers and sisters get together, especially in difficult times, to give strength and courage. And then when we go through and we overcome that difficult time, then we could give chizuk to others, as we spoke before. So that's the tshuva. The tshuva is that no matter what position we are in life, we know that Hashem is testing us, and that we're still going to come pray, and we're still going to daven, and we're still going to do mitzvot, because that's the right thing for a Jew to do. And hopefully Hashem will work out everything so that it should be for our benefit. The second thing that I want to talk about is the tefillah. You know, there's a very interesting Gemara. And I want to begin by telling you a story that happened with me here in Long Island. And I brought every one of you, oh, you're a tzaddik. Thank you. It happened in Merrick, Long Island, many years ago. I was doing a bris. I finished a bris. I come into the kitchen to wash up, and I see a lady's crying. I felt bad for this lady. Why is she crying? So, you know, it's very hard to see somebody cry and not to go over to them. I said, I see that you're upset. Is there anything that I could do for you? She says, Rabbi, I don't want to talk about it. So I said, you know, the Talmud says that if you talk to somebody when you have a problem, you never know when you could get advice. And the mere fact that you talk about it is helpful. She said, okay, Rabbi, I'll tell you. This is the third time that you are in this house. This is my best friend. She has three kids. What does God want from me? Why can't I have any children? And she burst into tears. What in the world was I going to tell her? Do I know why God didn't give her any children? So I said to her, I want to give you advice. And I want you to listen to this advice, because this is not my advice. This is the advice from the rabbis of the Talmud. And I told her, there is a Talmud teaching. I couldn't even say Gemara. She wouldn't know what a Gemara is. The Talmud, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kama Tzadik Beis Amar Aleph, Kol HaMavakesh Rachamim Al Chaveray, anybody who prays for something that a friend needs, V'hu Tzarech La'oysa Dava, you need that thing as well. You're going to be answered first. I said, it's not my business what your fertility problem is. But go to your doctor and find somebody who's got your situation and pray for them, and you'll see you'll be answered first. I told her to give tzedakah. I took her name, her mother's name, I put it on the Tehillim list, and I forgot about the story. A year later, I get a call from a lady. I have no idea who she is. She says, Rabbi Kron, do you remember who I am? I said, thank God, I see so many people every day. Who are you? She says, I'm that lady from Merrick, Long Island. Remember the kitchen? You gave me that advice? I said, yeah, wow, I remember. Why are you calling? She said, I want you to know that day I went to my doctor and he told me about a person that had my problem. I've been praying for that person every day, and today I had a little boy. I said, I can't believe it. And I said to her, you made my day. And she said to me words that I'll never forget. She said, Rabbi, I may have made your day, but you made my life. And that bris and the one that I did for her 2 years later when she had another boy were from the greatest that I ever did. My advice, of course not. It's the advice of the holy rabbis of Chazal. There are many people here with problems. We all have problems. Some have shidduchim problems. Some have health problems. Some have financial problems. Some have family problems. Whatever problem you have, you're not alone. There are other people that have that problem. You're looking for a shidduch. You're looking for have a child. You're looking to get a job. Find somebody else who has that problem and pray for them. And I'm telling you, you're going to be answered. And I bought a present for all of you. Take a look at this card. Those of you who have it already, otherwise Aviel or my grandson will give everybody. There's a wonderful Sephardic person who doesn't want I should mention his name. He started an organization called Kol HaMispalel. And it's based on this Chazal. Anybody who prays for somebody else and they need that thing, you'll be answered first. Call this number. No matter what problem you have, they will never, ever ask you your family name. They'll ask you your name, your mother's name, and they have a whole database of any problem that anybody could have. They will give you the name of a person that has your problem. You daven for them, they'll daven for you. I'm telling you, women told me, the doctor said, till hair grows here, you'll have a child. And they had a child. A guy was looking for a job for months. He started davening, within 3 weeks, he got a job. Girls that were looking to get engaged, when they started praying for other girls their age, they got shidduch. Same thing with men. Try it, you'll see, you won't believe it. So people say, oh, it's not sincere. You're really davening for somebody else, you mean yourself? There's nothing wrong with that. Hashem says, you could pray, and you're supposed to learn shaloi lishma. If you learn even for the other reasons that are not sincere, but once you learn and you daven and you see that it works, then you're going to start learning for the real purpose. You'll start davening for the real purpose. So that's the first gift that I brought for you. I brought you another gift. Something very important that most people don't know. There's a fellow by the name of Dr. Chaim Abitan. Dr. Chaim Abitan's father lived in Long Beach. He was a rabbi, and when he passed away, Chaim and I are very close friends. I went to be Menachem Avel, and he said, I want to do something, Lezecher Nishmas, my father. So we came up with different ideas, and one day he calls me up, he says, Rabbi Kron, I thought of the idea, let's do it together. I said, what is that? He said, in Shulchan Aruch it says, that any person that takes any medication, or any person that goes through a medical procedure, he should say this tefillah, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha, and it's written in Shulchan Aruch, Hashem, Elokei Shehei Esek Zeli Rafua, that which I'm doing is for Rafua, because you are the doctor who has no charge. You are free, doctor. Baruch Rofei Cholim, you could say it in Hebrew and in English. Every one of you will get one of these. Again, either Aviel or my grandson will give you one. Take this. That should be the tshuva that we do for tefillah this year. Every time we have to take a pill, every time you have to do a medical procedure, but even more important, any problem that you have, either call this number and they will get somebody to daven for you, you daven for them, or even in Shimon Esrei, daven for others. Don't only think about yourself when you are praying. You know something? Did it ever occur to anybody here that the whole Shimon Esrei, the middle part, is all Lashon Rabim, Hashiveinu, return us, Slach Lanu, forgive us, Choneinu, give us wisdom, Rifu'enu, heal us, Baruch Aleinu, bless us with Parnassah. You don't only daven Shimon Esrei for yourself, you got to start thinking about other people. And when you think about other people, others are going to think about you, and Hashem will think about you as well. So that's the first part, tshuva. We accept anything that happens. We know God is testing us, but not chas v'shalom that we're upset. And we give chizuk to those that are going through difficult times, and hopefully we'll get out of it. And the second thing of tefillah, let us begin from tomorrow morning on a shacharit to have in mind other people. And when we have in mind other people, Hashem then will have us in mind as well. I'll tell you one amazing story that has to do with tefillah. And that is, I know somebody in Israel, he just passed away recently. His name was Michal Goodfarb. He never missed a minyan. He always davened with a minyan. So what happened one night, 3 o'clock in the morning, he comes home from a wedding and he realized, oh my gosh, I didn't pray with a minyan. Ma'ariv, I didn't pray Arbit. Where's he going to get a minyan? So they told him in Yerushalayim, there's a place called Zichron Moshe, and they have minyanim 24/7. And he could go there, they'll find a minyan. Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. He goes running to Zichron Moshe. He runs around all the different rooms. There's one guy there. He says, did you daven Ma'ariv yet? He said, no. He says, you think we'll have a minyan? He said, what, are you crazy? In an hour and a half is Vasikin. They're going to daven Shachris. Listen what this guy thinks of. You and I wouldn't come up with it in 5 years. He calls a cab company. He says, send me 8 cabs, only Israeli drivers. 8 taxis. He says, 8 taxis? Who's got 8 taxis? 3 o'clock in the morning. So how many got 5? He calls another cab company. Send me 3 cabs. 8 cabs come running up, only Israeli drivers. What's he going to do in the Arab, right? So he says to all them, guys, listen, I need all of you, start your meters and come into the synagogue. We're going to pray Arbit. Because these guys are looking, what's that? Where's the bar mitzvah? Where's the wedding? What are we doing here at 3 o'clock in the morning? So each guy puts on the meter and they pray Arbit. Some guys knew how to daven, other secular Israelis, they had to give him a kippah. And they pray, it took 20 minutes. After 20 minutes, he finishes, he goes over to the first guy, religious guy, he says, go check your meter. How much do I owe you? He says, are you kidding? I've been praying all my life. Never did I see one guy is going to pay 8 guys on the meter for 1 arbit. I wouldn't take a penny from you. You're very holy. I wouldn't take a penny from you. So he goes over to the secular guy. He figures, here, for sure, he'll take money. He says, how much do I owe you? The guy says, listen to me. I haven't been in a synagogue in 7 years. I haven't even been in a synagogue Yom Kippur. Tonight, you forced me to come here. I should pay you. Not you should pay me. Not one guy took a penny from him. Because they saw that's what sincerity and tefillah is all about. We should try as much as possible in this coming year, especially from now until Hashanah Rabbah, to daven with a minyan as often as we can. And finally, tzedakah. We said tshuva is inward, tefillah is upward, tzedakah is outward. Tzedakah, basically what it really means is doing favors for other people. And that's what I would like to talk about. Making sure that we begin to do chesed in a way that we haven't done before. So I want to share with you a story, an amazing story. In Brooklyn, just a few years ago, there was a young person who passed away. His name was Yossi Pressburger. Yossi Pressburger was only 47 years old. He was working for Kedem Wine. He was in Detroit. He had a heart attack and they brought him back here to New York. And many, many people came to pay a shiva call to be Menachem Avel. And they asked me to come there as well because they knew that my father passed away when I was a young boy, 21. And so they asked me if I would come to speak to the children. So I spoke to the children and then I went into the kitchen, very small kitchen. Mrs. Pressburger was there. It was very crowded. I didn't stay very long there. But then a while later, a couple weeks later, I got a call. And a lady calls me up and she says, Rabbi Krohn, I must tell you a story. Today, many people ask me, where do you get all your stories? Because people call me. Because I like to tell stories, so they like to tell me stories. And you never know. I'm a nice guy. I listen to everybody, but you never know when you could pick up one. Most of them I can't use. Him, this kid, his parents gave me a story. And I used it. He's in my book. Page 193, right? Okay. Okay. You should all get the book. He'll autograph it. Okay. And then I will. No. Okay, so listen to this. She tells me, you know, after you left, I went into the kitchen and I was speaking to Mrs. Pressburger. She says, now I don't know Mrs. Pressburger, but I know her husband's sisters. So I came to be Menachem Avel in the kitchen there. So I said to Mrs. Pressburger, tell me about your husband. I want to know something about him. So at least I can feel that I learned something about the person who passed away. So Mrs. Pressburger says, I'll tell you about my husband. He always did a chesed right away. Never waited. If somebody asked him for a favor, he didn't say, I'll do it tomorrow, call me back later, or I'll get somebody else to do it. He did it right away. She said, oh, thank you very much. She said, I'm Mokim Menachem, and she left. This lady tells me she was driving 3 blocks away, East 19th and Avenue N, the corner, Kamenetz Yeshiva. She said it was after a snowstorm. There was only one row of traffic. And I see, she says to me, I saw a lady that was lying in a car. She was sleeping. And obviously it was around 3 o'clock, so I figured she's probably waiting for her son to come out of yeshiva and she's going to take him home. But she said to me, I had a feeling there was something wrong with this woman. Don't ask me why. I just felt there was something wrong with this woman. The way her head was back on the chair in the car seat. So I just heard from Yossi Pressburger's wife that you always got to do a chesed. So I called the Hatzalah. I said, please, please forgive me that I'm calling you. I'm not sure if there's anything wrong, but there's a lady here on East 19th and N. I can't get out of the car because there's cars behind me. There's only one row of traffic. Please come and check it out. But I'm sorry that I'm disturbing you. And the guy from Hatzalah gets angry. He says, don't ever apologize to Hatzalah. That's what we're here for. Have mercy on the potential victim. Don't have mercy on us. Call us whenever you have to. We'll be there in a minute. Fine. She drives off. 20 minutes later, she gets a call from Hatzalah. Are you the lady that called Hatzalah about the woman who was lying, you know, sleeping? She said, yeah. She said, I want you to know you saved her life. So how did I save her life? She said, she's a diabetic. She had hypoglycemia. She was in diabetic shock. If she would have been there another 20 minutes, she would have died. She just came out from Yossi Pressburger's wife, heard about doing a chesed right away. She called Hatzalah, and she saved that person. Really, she was thinking not even calling, because maybe nothing's wrong. You'll never believe this. 2 months later, she calls me again. She said, Rabbi Krohn, you won't believe it. Today, I got a call from the mother of that lady who was sleeping. She said, you didn't save one life, you saved two lives. My daughter was expecting, and today she had a little girl. Could you imagine? That's chesed. You do it right away. In our hearts, we have to make a commitment. Tshuva, tvila, tzedakah. We have to know that we all are created in the world with a hey. No matter what happened in the past, don't be despondent. We can roar back to Hashem. We can roar, Hashem, yours to us. Aryeh, Elo, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Mashanah Rabbah. It's okay. Hein om, kelavi yakum. We can answer back. How we can answer back? We're going to take the step into here, into hey. This door is open for tshuva. No matter what happened in the past, forget about it. Now it's a new year, a new beginning. That's why Avraham Avinu got a hey. That's why Sarai got a hey to have the name Sarah. How we going to improve? With tshuva and tefillah and tzedakah. Hashem should help that each in our own level should be able to make that commitment to tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. It'll be mavirin, esrei, agzera, all the evil decrees. Everybody will find shidduchim, everybody will have children, everybody will have a job, everybody will be able to have a house, and children, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And next year, we're going to have the Shabbaton in Yerushalayim together with Mashiach. Thank you.
TorahAnytime.com sends cameras out day and night to video and audio record the best Torah classes around. We then make them available to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Watch, listen to, and download lectures on TorahAnytime.com today.